I'm Sori.
That's Booby.
And Vita and Chip and Culpy.
Patreon pick.
Yep.
This alliance.
This is a big day.
This alliance is my favorite name.
Oh, it's so cute too that they've been trying so hard. Like, they came up, they got their points.
Yep.
They made it.
This alliance has my favorite name. Anarchy 99.
Yep.
Anarchy 99. Y'all should come up with a gang sign. Led by the big homie Silver Kyrie.
Yep.
The overlord or the underboss, whatever you want to call it. This alliance is exclusively on Discord. Link is on Patreon, exclusively for patrons.
Well, all of the alliances are exclusively for patrons.
Right, but...
The way to get the link, though, is when you become a patron, you'll have access to that link.
Right. It's this group and, what is it, Damon Sage's group, the True Cult? They're, like, the most, like, incognito exclusive groups out there. I was in the,
This is what types they are. Yeah, you got booted out. Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Get out of here. It's because I'm black. All right. Anarchy 99 has punk, hardcore, post-punk, post-hardcore, emo, screamo, metalcore, grindcore, math rock, mathcore, crossover thrash, power violence, emo violence, new wave, and spoken word. Okay?
Wow.
What the hell is emo violence?
I don't know, but... Well, I'm curious to get some of those songs.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, holiday in Cambodia.
Honestly, mathcore sounds boring.
No, mathcore is very interesting to me, actually.
Well, we can see why you would think that sounds interesting and I would think that sounds boring.
I don't know why. I sucked at math.
Babe, please stop throwing trash on the floor.
I know.
It's very uncomfortable to keep bending over it.
The feng shui is in this room is legit now because you did all that cleaning.
And then you just threw that on the floor like it didn't even matter.
Mm.
It didn't even matter. Okay. Ready? And go.
People dressed in black. Need a holiday in Cambodia.
was that?
Good lord.
I have so many questions.
So many questions!
Do you have any answers?
I have none. La ilaha lala. Well, that was the Dead Kennedys. This is a punk. This is like a legit punk song. Punk band.
Okay, that's not what they're I
like,
thought punk
They're like
song.
Real punk, apparently.
Okay.
What are you confused about in this song?
Well, for one thing, I don't like his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Scroll to the top, babe. Okay. I don't know what's happening. Like, there. So you've been to school for a year or two, and you know you've seen it all. In daddy's car thinking you'll go far. Back east, your type don't crawl. So, is it somebody who thinks that they know everything? Are they going on a little journey? But then I was confused, and I didn't know why they said niggers. And, I was confused about that. I don't know what pack a wife, why pack a wife. That sounds really weird. Also, right guard will not help you here. I didn't know right guard.
That's
the
deodorant.
Only thing is that I could think of was deodorant. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, why? And now we're singing about deodorant? And I'm not super familiar with Cambodia. When I think Cambodia, I think starving people. I don't know if that's actually true or if it's just, you know, the picture that's been painted or.
Well, they ended up talking about Pol Pot later on.
I don't know what that is.
Pol Pot is basically the Hitler of Cambodia.
Oh.
You know the term the killing fields?
Yes.
That was Pol Pot in the Khmer Rouge.
What did he do?
He killed 3 million people. Just slaughtered them. Civil war. Communism.
What was the reason?
Same old thing. Communists. Militant. Communists. Body. Yeah. Well, this is the thing that gets me about people. It's like, if you were to walk around with a Hitler shirt with a swastika, people would immediately say that you're like some monster.
Yeah.
But you got all these people with their Che Guevara shirts and everything, and their Stalin shirts. And the communists killed more people last century than the Nazis did. So it's a strange, and you know, Hitler was a socialist, he wasn't a capitalist.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, Nazi means National Socialist. I'm not defending Hitler, but it's just this weird thing where communists get celebrated by, you know, neoliberals or leftists or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then these are the same people that'll be full of righteous anger if somebody walks around with a Hitler shirt. It's like,
why? Why do you think that is?
You know, like, for example, like, there are some people that are offended that the term nigger is in this song.
Well, I felt a little bit uncomfortable.
But they're not offended about Pol Pot.
Well, I didn't know what that was.
Pol Pot killed 3 million people. It's like,
yeah, I didn't know what it was.
It's like, hello!
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of like that leftist, you know, like, world person, like, they spent a week or two over in some area, and now they come back, and they know, like, they've traveled the world, and they come back with this sort of condescending, you know, it's like, you've been to school for a year or two, and you know you've seen it all. In daddy's car, thinking you'll go far. It's like, you haven't done anything. Here you are in your dad's car.
Well, that's, I was thinking of the kids when that part came up. I'm like, these kids think they know everything.
Yeah, here you are. You know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know.
In your daddy's car. That's hilarious. Yeah,
there you are in your daddy's car, you know, thinking you'll go far. Back east, your type don't crawl. Play ethnic-y jazz to parade your schnaz. You know, it's like all these pretentious people on your 5 grand stereo. Like, you know the plight of poor people, but you spent 5 grand on a stereo.
Oh, okay.
You went to school, you know, on your daddy's dime, and you're in your daddy's car. But you know the plight. You know how the niggers feel. And it's kind of like an ironic, you know, spin, because it's like,
If
you knew, you wouldn't call them niggers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the slums got so much soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here you are, like, with your idealism and your whatever, and you think you're part of all these different cultures because you spent a week or two around them, not realizing that you've got an entirely privileged lifestyle and you mm-hmm. don't know anything about what's going on anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the, it's a holiday in Cambodia, so I guess the guy's like, all right, well, go to Cambodia.
See what it's like.
See what it's like. It's time to taste what you most fear. A right guard will not help you here. Brace yourself, my dear. So what he, it's like, okay, it's a holiday in Cambodia. It's tough, kid, but it's life. It's a holiday in Cambodia. And don't forget to pack a wife. But when he says it's time to taste what you most fear, I think what he's saying is like, what if you could take one of these social justice people and put them in Cambodia and see how much they really, you know, like you're gonna face the real world. Like this is what it, you're for. You know, it's kind of like there's not a lot of people that really care about people in bad situations. It's kind of like when we were doing that downtown ministry or whatever, and you had all these people saying, "Oh, that's great, da 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 da," but they didn't want their kids down there.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want their kids exposed to all the craziness.
Right.
That happens down there. But they wanted to jump on to what we were doing and like try to act like they were down with the struggle, but they didn't want their kids in that environment.
Right.
Because there were certain precautions that we had to take for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain things that they just had to end up seeing.
Right. It's inevitable.
Because
the people that would come in, sometimes they don't, it's like they don't understand where to draw the line of what you should say and what you shouldn't say around kids.
Or do.
Right. Which is why we had certain codes that meant, go on the couches over there.
Right.
Go away from this discussion.
Right. Right. But nobody, you know, nobody really wants to deal with like the reality of helping people.
Mm-hmm.
The most people want to do is throw money at it. And I'm not saying throwing money at it is bad because we throw money.
Yeah. You
know,
it takes money to.
And our Patreon groups have done that.
Yeah.
You know, helping people and stuff, but don't act like you really, really know the deal.
Right.
Don't act like you really know what people are going through.
What he meant by our patron groups is that the people that are donating to us on Patreon, we're all like pooling together, and then some of that money is going to get kids out of trafficking, well, teenagers out of trafficking. And we're going to start doing another one as well. So that's what he means by none of us are over there actually picking these teenagers off the street,
right.
But we are putting our money toward making it so that way they have available education and a home situation that is out of that environment. What was the name of that thing?
Children of the Night.
Children
and then
of the
a couple
night,
weeks ago, our patrons did help for some kids in Yemen.
Right. Right. You know, well, none of us are in Yemen, but we're doing what we can from here.
Yeah, but none of us are walking around. You don't see Silver or Zonia or Damon Sage going, yeah, you know, I know what it's like in Yemen.
Right, yeah.
Like, they, you know, it's like, all right, cool, we did something good down there. Hopefully we can, you know, the workers down there, we can help them out.
Yeah.
You know, like the workers are the ones that are there risking their lives, not us. You know, we did a very small part. But you don't see anybody like walking around, but there's people that do that. Like, they hang out in the hood for a couple days. They really think that they know the deal. It's like, you don't know nothing.
Yeah.
But this kind of happens, too, in Christianity, where you got the missionary tourism.
I know.
What do they call it? Short-term missions?
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll go down to Mexico for a couple...
Well, and for them, I think it's good, you know, like they get to go down and, you know, participate and help out and stuff like that. But a lot of times it causes issues for the missionaries that are there because, you know, like there was one spot they were missionaries to an orphanage. And so they had, let's say they had 10 workers that were there volunteering that were there on a regular basis.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get a team of, you know, 35 people come in, and all those 35 people want to hold all the babies and, like, you know, give them all this extra attention, but you're only there for friggin' 2 weeks. And then when you pull out of there, then all those babies have to go then through that withdrawal of, I was being held constantly and loved on, and now these 10 workers are just trying to get bottles and diapers changed, you know? They don't have time to sit and rock for hours. So it causes issues because now the babies are crying, they're, you know, but the people showing up think, oh, that's so horrible. If you say, you can't sit there and hold the babies, you can feed them and change them, but it makes it harder on the child if you hold them for a week or two and then you're gone. But then, that's a horrible orphanage. No, there's practical reasons because that child is going to have to go through that withdrawal. When you're flying back feeling all good about holding some orphan baby, the baby is now laying in the crib by themselves. Without being held.
Yeah. I mean...
That's just one example, but...
Yeah. Yeah. So when he's saying tasting what you most fear, like, what if you actually had to go there and live there among those people? Don't forget to pack a wife. What do you think that means?
I don't know. I don't know if it's like, you know how people, you know, they'll get like a order bride or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, go to Cambodia. Oh, pack a wife on your way back. You know what I mean? See some woman that normally, if she was in a situation here in America and she had herself together, she would never be with you. But because she's over there and she's in straits, you could pack a wife and bring her back.
I think in, like,
that's all I was thinking.
Well, in Vietnam, there is a lot of like that happening, like, because Vietnam and Cambodia are like right next to each other.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, dudes would, you know, they'd come back with a Vietnamese wife or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe it's one of those things. It's another way that we, you know, exploit these people.
Right.
Like, it's what happens with this, you know, in what do you call it, Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
These sick bastards will go to Thailand because there's all these child prostitutes or whatever. And so all that shit's legal in Thailand, so they'll go over
there. Oh, my word. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a big
thing.
Oh,
that's disgusting. Wow.
You're a Starbelly Sneech.
That word Sneech. What the heck does that remind you of?
It reminds Dr. Seuss.
Yes! That's what I was thinking of, too.
You suck like a leech. You want everybody to act like you. Kiss ass while you bitch so you can get rich, but your boss gets richer off you.
Huh? Oh, man.
You'll work harder with a gun in your back for a bowl of rice a day. That's a difference between growing up in America, you know. And you get all these American people complaining about how unjust it is.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Meanwhile, these poor saps over there in Cambodia are working at gunpoint because they'll get blown away by the Khmer Rouge.
And all they're getting is a bowl of rice.
Yeah. And then here we are complaining. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. You know, of course, if you actually have, like, spent any significant time in other places on the planet, and then you come, you know, we talked about this a couple of days ago in our big talk where guys were coming back from, you know, theater or whatever, or war, and then, you know, woman stubs her toe or
breaks
something happens or
her
dish breaks and she's like losing her mind, and then he's like,
but what's still the
problem?
Alive.
Yeah, everybody's still alive. Yeah. Like, the house isn't bombed. Like, we're good. Like, what's your problem? And they're no longer able to relate to the comment. It's so funny. Like, people talk, you know, I said, you know, we spent some time in a homeless shelter or whatever. And people are like, oh my God. It's like,
well, it sounds horrible when you say it. Like, you were a child in a
We had three meals a day. Yeah. It was winter outside. We had a warm place to sleep. We had beds. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we were living like kings compared to the rest of the world. Like, that time period wasn't traumatic to me. I've seen people live terribly. That's why I have never complained about it, ever. I've never been like, oh my God.
No.
I never complained about it. We were together. Who cares?
Well, I think it's a good mentality to have.
We were together. Nobody was trying to kill us. You know, we got three meals a day.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to move every week because they had a different location. There was a different church, different synagogue.
We're so different, babe.
So, you know, the only thing that sucked is we were in this, like, high school type thing, and we were all sleeping in the gym. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, we had little compartments for where everybody lived. And I loved that place because you could play basketball until it was, you know, bedtime. So I hated leaving that place. But, you know, we were hanging out in a synagogue one time. That was pretty cool. Shout out to the Jews. They had a really good dinner that week.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. It's all kosher. But, you know, the stuff that people complain about in America is ridiculous.
Yeah.
People talk about the poverty line in America. Like, stop it. What are you talking about? And then you saw it. We were dealing with street people, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. And they had cell phones and they were taking selfies and all that shit. They were sleeping outside. They were good. I'm not saying, like, it's an ideal situation. Being poor in America sucks. Being poor anywhere sucks. But it's not like, you're not oppressed like these people are.
Yeah, no.
The way that Americans talk about how mean and terrible their boss is, it's like, nobody's going to kill you. his people were like at gunpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night. Slave for soldiers till you're starved, then your head is skewered on a stake. Yeah. And then you got all these, like, you know. And I don't want to trivialize. I just saw a meme. I think it was Ray Gonzalez posted the meme where it was like, you have to work 1.5 jobs in order to afford a 2-bedroom apartment on average. You know, if you're just getting paid minimum wage.
Yeah.
And for as much capital as is swimming around our country, you would kind of figure that you should be able to break some of that off, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get that part of it. Like, I don't want to trivialize that because that's a very, very real thing. Although, we're working 2 jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's...
Yeah.
It's, you know, I get it. So I don't want to say...
That's
just
true.
Because people are not getting killed, that...
That's true. Technically, we have 3 jobs. Like,
right.
You're working 2 and I'm working the channel.
And you're an educator.
Yeah, but you don't get paid for educating your own children, so you can't necessarily count that, but we still...
I count it.
3,
So,
yeah.
So I understand, like, that, but then you pull back and put it in perspective. That, like I've said before, like, we've got the, you know, I always say, like, we're in the best situation of all time, you mm-hmm. know, even though, like, we work very hard.
Yeah.
But we need to be grateful for what we have here, because there's other people that are working their tails off and are getting a bowl of rice.
Right, yeah.
Good night.
Yep.
You know, and being able to balance both of those is tricky. You know, because there's a certain standard of living in America, and it's like, we've got enough capital.
Can you look at my ring and you said that?
We've got enough capital to where everybody, you know, should be able to raise the floor a little bit as to what everybody's standard of living is.
Yeah.
We can't say that just because people are suffering, you know, horrible working conditions in other countries that we shouldn't live the standard of living in America.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, while we're fighting for that, we got to understand that, hey, it's not hell. Like, you're very privileged to live in this country.
I think that, you know, some things need to be a bit easier. For instance, you know, somebody who's been to jail that wants to get a job,
right.
Like, that has to be easier. Like,
right.
You know, there's certain crimes that people do in their youth, in the stupidity of youth,
right.
That they would not do now that they're in their 40s. And they, oh gosh, babe. It was a child in Cambodia. It was terrible. So, you know, there's you know, things like that where they need to be able to get a job.
Reintegration.
Or even, you know, high school dropouts. It's hard for them to get a job and stuff like that. But then you also have people who can work and they don't want to. So, we've
right.
seen that plenty.
Right.
You know, they're well able to work, but they want
right.
to say that they're, you know, that they need to go on disability when you're like, you know, my parents, their back was hurting and they went to work. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, that's what you have to do. Like,
right.
nobody, you know, everybody has different issues. Now, I think that there are some disabilities that, you're legit... you have to be on disability. But then there are other situations where, honestly, I think disability makes it so that way it inhibits the person from getting better.
Well,
because they should be out. Like, we know somebody that they should be out. Like, it would be healthier for them to be out in the work environment and have that sense of accomplishment when you get your check and you're paying your bills. And we saw it. Sometimes the people would be like, they got their job, and when they were paying their bills, and, like, their money was, like, going to taking care of their business, they were, like, felt very, like, you could see the energy coming from them, you know? But, you know, so I think that there has to be a balance that we have to have, like, you know, some people legit need to be helped, and then there are other people that...
Well, I think a lot of it just has to do with the attitude that you have when you're doing it.
What do you mean?
Like... You know, there's a lot of people that take on these social causes and, you know, they act like their social cause is the only cause that there is. And then it's like I said, like, you spent a week over here or you saw some documentary here, especially now with the YouTube generation.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Because
it's like, oh, you saw something on YouTube, so you know how
things are. Yep.
I've seen people shoot stuff on YouTube about something that went down over somewhere else, and I'm like,
And they're wrong.
Yeah, call my friend. I'm like, look at this shit. It's like, you have no idea what you're talking. All you know is what you see. Like, what are you talking about? You know, it's kind of that type of thing, you know. But you take a guy like Bernie Sanders, who actually, like, went to jail over this shit. Like, you know, in the 60s, you had some white folk that were in the sit-ins and they were getting lynched just along with black people. They were, like, really putting their money where their mouth was.
Yeah.
Like, those people, okay, you can talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
But don't, you know, like John MacArthur's trying to act like he was part of the movement. Stop. Y'all don't know who John MacArthur is, but stop it. Anyway. This is a burn.
Yeah.
You know what the kids say? Burn! It's a burn to that kid that graduated from Berkeley. Now all of a sudden he knows about the world. He's gonna come on down from Valhalla and tell all the rest of us.
How things are.
What do you give the song?
Well, I didn't like the sound of it. And I really don't like the guy's voice, so I would have given it probably a 4.
A 4?
Yeah. But then I'll bump it up to a 5.5 because of I think it's an important topic. But I know that's still a low score. But I really wasn't a.
Well, I think we gotta hear more like real old school punk songs to really get the kind of
flow. Yeah, because maybe it's like a Judas Priest thing. Yeah, maybe it takes some time to get used to it.
It's a style, you know.
But
so.
For now. It's a 5.5.
All right, I'm going to give it an 8.9 because I'm not really with the flow, but I feel we've learned enough to where once you get introduced to a new type of style, it takes us a while to like acclimate to it and get it. So it's going to be an 8.9 because I feel like that's going to happen later on.
Well, what would you give it today if you didn't have 7. That? Yeah, okay.
So it's getting 1.9 points just for that type of confidence. Plus, I liked how risky he was in the song.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Because people are, oh my gosh, he said nigger.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Meanwhile, he says Pol Pot 50 million times.
Yeah, babe, I didn't know what the words meant, so that can't count for me.
No, I'm not talking about you.
Fine.
I'm just saying. Those pictures that I was just showing you was the result of Pol Pot's work.
Oh, my word.
I had the scroll of pictures from the killing fields. Yeah, that's some evil shit.
It was bad.
And there's worse things in the world than being called a nigger, believe me. Like getting shot in a field.
Yeah, but when you're calling it a nigger, that's
kid.
Going back to the lynchings and everything else that was there. So it's terrible.
No, I know, but Pol Pot's cool. Let's put him on a shirt next to Che Guevara.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, all right. Good song. Ving out.
Sorry, out.
Gone.